I'd like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Okay, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush, the latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
After 47 seasons, Hall of Famer, right? Jim Boeheim will not be returning as the men's basketball coach at Syracuse. 47 seasons. He has an official coaching record. Get this record, dude. 1,015 and 441 losses over his career. 101 wins having been vacated, though, because of NCAA rule violations between 04 and 07 and 2010 to 2012 that resulted in sanctions. Boeheim ranks second with either total, though, behind Duke, former Duke head coach, Coach K, the Division I record with victories there. Syracuse went to the NCAA tournament on 35 occasions. It advanced to the Final Four in 5 of those trips. They won the national title in 03. We remember that year. He has 58 official NCAA tournament wins, which ranks 4th all time. One of the greats right there, but several wins vacated because of NCAA violations, 04 to 07 and 2010 to 2012. Hall of Famer, but it's kind of a tainted Hall of Fame, somewhat. Several wins tainted, or several wins taken away. Still one of the greatest.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no question. More on the Jets. The Jets are becoming more confident in their chances of landing Aaron Rodgers. According to ESPN this morning, they have increased optimism that Aaron Rodgers will be the Jets' next quarterback. That seems... Dude, he's going down the same path as Brett Favre. A year after that, he'll be with Minnesota.
Saw a report yesterday that Rodgers' current girlfriend lives in New York City. Take that what you will, because he also had a girlfriend that lived in the Rockies.
Yeah, we were doing stuff with that, too. It's like, I don't know, man. A couple of Memphis Grizzlies news, a bit of Memphis Grizzlies news here. Memphis Grizzlies center Steven Adams is set to be out at least another 4 weeks after receiving a stem cell injection. So he's going to miss the rest of the season. Where will that put him for the playoffs? Because they're going to go to the playoffs. We know that. But what kind of team are they going to be? All that. That's a big hit for the Grizzlies. And it has been a strange week for Memphis. Ja Morant, though, they did get decent news. He will not face criminal charges stemming from his Instagram Live video in which he appeared to display a handgun at a nightclub. Shotgun Willies, or as Angels named it, Handgun Willies. So that's good. Shortly after that, well, it's good for the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies announced that Morant will be away from the team for at least 4 more games. That means the earliest that he could potentially return is March 17th against the Spurs. So that they determined that he did not travel with the gun then? Because
it's
that
possible.
We know that if he had a gun on some kind of NBA travel, like plane, bus, facilities, that could be up to 50 games. If you have a gun.
They may be investigating it still. They may also be talking to him and making sure he gets some kind of help or some kind of assistance with this stuff and just making sure he is mentally, you know, aware of what's going on. The Grizzlies would need to win 9 games to clinch the 10th seed.
So
at least 9 wins to make the playoffs.
Well, I mean, that was good news for them because I thought they were going to just keep going down. But if you can get, we'll see where they end up. Now, but they're 7 games out from the Nuggets, from the top spot. They're tied with Sacramento. If Ja can get back, and then is he mentally right? You know, how big of a hit is this going to be on him mentally and with the rest of this team going forward? Here's what I would want to hear if I'm a Grizzlies fan. I want to hear Ja Morant get up on in a press conference format and just over the top apologize. Not corny over the top. I mean, just over the top, come out and say, stupid. There's no excuse. I'm not doing the right things, but I'm going forward. That's what I need to hear. This guy is a mega superstar, dude. He could potentially win the MVP one year. He could probably win a couple of these. And if Memphis can keep that group intact, maybe they're going to be a team within a championship type window here over the next few years. You talk about throwing it all away. So this is he's at a crossroads right now where he has to figure out, does he want to dedicate his life to being a superstar basketball player? And again, not to say other important things aren't coming, family, all that stuff coming in. He's a dad too. So all these things you have to ask yourself, am I prepared to drop whatever this crap is or not? I mean, he has a daughter that's 3 years old, dude. So this stuff is beyond just basketball. This is, what kind of person are you going to be? And a lot of people are saying, well, flashing a gun, it's not like he shot anybody or did anything with it and stuff. It's a bad look, man. It's a bad look. It's bad. And again, it's borderline illegal. It would have been illegal if they would have found that he was drinking with the gun. It is a big deal. I'll take this time because I'm always knocking LeBron James. LeBron's annoying. That's his biggest crime for me. He has done everything the right way. He never gets into trouble. You don't see LeBron posting a bunch of videos where he's out clubbing. You see a lot of videos where he's at home with his kids and his family. So that I will say, I absolutely love and respect. I love and respect LeBron as a player, but I do love and respect the fact that he's leading that example of, hey, I'm not out videoing. I don't think he's ever done that, has he? Have we ever seen LeBron, even in his young heyday when he was in Miami, when he went to Miami? We didn't see a lot of club videos of him doing stupid things. I mean, that guy is a pretty lives a pretty clean way. So it's easy, I guess, to be a superstar and just go out and do stupid things because you got the money, you got the fame, you feel untouchable. Hats off to the guys like Nikola Jokic and LeBron James, those guys that we just don't see getting into this kind of trouble. And again, he's not in trouble. He's going to miss the next four games. In the grand scheme of things, you hope that this is a small blip on the radar for him. But he's at a crossroads right now. He's either going to take this and run with it and become the star we all think he's going to be, or continue to be the star, or he's going to fizzle. And then when times get tough, he's going to resort back to whatever he was doing before.
Does the NBA step in and give him a suspension of any length?
I mean, unless they can prove that he traveled with the gun on team facilities, which it sounds like they're sweeping this under the rug.
Do they need any evidence to suspend him for anything? Just for the image he's presented as for the NBA?
I think you can do things like you did something detrimental to the league. And with their stance on guns and everything, wouldn't you agree that flashing one all over the place is detrimental to the league? It's a bad look. It's bad for your image. And that's detrimental. If you do something that harms the image of the NBA, it's detrimental. I mean, the Clippers' old owner, Donald Sterling, he didn't do anything illegal. He didn't do anything close to illegal. But what he did was detrimental to the league. He was caught on tape by his girlfriend that was like 22 or something like that. He was like in his late 70s. And we all know what he said. I don't have it in front of me, but they were terrible, terrible, terrible things where you were getting players threatening a boycott. You were getting fans threatening a boycott. That is detrimental to the league. You know, again, that whole thing was like, well, freedom of speech. Now you can say whatever you want, but you can lose the things that you have.
It's not a freedom from consequence.
Yeah, it means you don't go to Donald Sterling's not serving time for saying mean things. He said something that got out there in the privacy of his own home, but it was recorded. I mean, if I trust you, Angel, and I'm like, Angel, come over, let's play Madden, and I start saying stupid things in the privacy of my own home, and I trust you, that's on me. And if suddenly it turns out you were recording me the whole time, and now people find out that I'm not really a big Lord of the Rings fan, then it's detrimental.
You're actually a Star Trek fan.
Yeah, I'm actually a Star. As much as I make fun of it, I actually love Star Trek. But that's the thing. Like, you might not. Yeah, the Aqib Talib thing. You remember when he had the gun in the park and ended up like shooting himself? And that was a weird story. That kind of stuff should not be taken lightly. It sounds goofy, and at least you can go, well, yeah, but it's not like he was out causing trouble and aiming his gun at people. Right. But it's still not, most of that's not legal or a good look.
And if that happened, it would, the narrative would, or the one talking point would be, well, why did he have it in the first place?
Right.
And so now we're saying, well, he has it in the first place, he just didn't do anything with it.
Yeah, what's he bringing the gun to the, he was in Shotgun Willie's, right? What's he bringing a gun in there for? And that's where I think, I'm looking at this investigation, and I'm like, that's just gone? Can you have, does that place allow guns? I can't imagine, even though they're called Shotgun Willie's, I can't imagine that it's legal to bring in a gun.
No, but you can get 50% off.
If you bring in a shotgun.
Now that's...
Didn't read the memo.
Talking about back room stuff.
It's hard not to talk about this story and chuckle a little bit because it was at Shotgun Willie's. Dude.
Which in itself is a landmark in that area.
Why are you videoing this stuff?
Social media.
If he would have went to Shotgun Willie's and had the time of his life and had a gun but didn't video it, we wouldn't be talking about it today.
If he'd have posted the video without the gun, it'd have been, oh, John Morant's out having a good time.
It'd just be a weird look because you go, you just got your kicked by the Nuggets, and now you're out partying at Shotgun Willie's. So, listen, a lot of people are going to the video thing, why'd you even film it? You still did something wrong. Nobody would have known, though, if you didn't have to showcase. What would be, dude, come on. What's going on through your brain where you're like, I'm going to go live with this, and I'm going to show that I have a gun in this place? What? Surely nowhere in your brain you thought that this was a good look.
I know they didn't prove it, but when you're under the influence of something, you're not thinking straight.
Well, and that's the other question I had is, how are they? How would they prove it? He didn't do a breathalyzer or anything that night. He didn't get in any trouble that night. Didn't get a DUI or anything. So how could they go back and prove that he was doing alcohol?
I guess if he bought drinks at the club, but if you paid in cash, you can't really track that. So
that's also true. It's a good point. But even then, let's say he bought a ton of alcohol.
Can't prove that he was drinking.
Still can't prove that it went to his mouth. The guy's got a decision to make, and I hope he comes out strong and really strong on this and says, I'm cleaning it up right now. We had a college wrestler on yesterday. We had two college wrestlers on yesterday, two studs, Big 12 champs, Andrew Alirez. And what did he say in that interview? He's perfect. He hasn't lost this year. It's like, what are you doing this year? I'm focusing on being perfect, but not just on the mat and everything that I do. My schoolwork, my youth involvement, my dedication to my craft, my workouts, my diet, everything. I am focused on being perfect in that way. And that's, not everybody's going to be that way. There's going to be great basketball players like that still go out and do stuff. Michael Jordan went out and did stuff. They say, I heard a podcast the other day talking about how one of the players went to go check on Jordan at like 3 a.m. and he was in his hotel room, had a drink, smoked a cigar, playing the piano. But still, you're up late, you're probably not treating your body the best, but he still got up and did the right thing. He still went out and played great basketball.
Well, he's going to go warm up in 2 hours.
Yeah. The difference there is he's doing it, and I'm not saying he didn't go to parties and stuff. He did, but a lot of those stories about Jordan were like, yeah, he played hard, but he was still responsible about that.
Well, yeah, and even like in the documentary, it shows like a lot of that stuff was undercover stuff. Like it was like in hotel rooms,
right.
And you'd knock on the door and there's 30 people in there, and he was like, what's going on in here?
Yeah, he wasn't even into that stuff at first. He's like, dude, this is ridiculous. I'm not fitting in here. But he'd stay up late and do. Allen Iverson, another guy, he went out and partied all the time. George Carl's book,
Furious George outlines Iverson going out all the time, coming in smelling of alcohol. Not saying that's right, but he didn't. We didn't have video and like that kind of deal with cell phones and everything, I don't think, at that point. You just got to be careful. I mean, obviously, all coaches and GMs would rather their players just don't go out at all during the season, man. This is you're on the team's time here. I remember when things were really bad with the Nuggets, when Brian Shaw was the head coach, and they would go to the L.A. And they weren't a playoff team. They were a bad team. But they would beg their coach. They were like, we want to go out tonight. And Shaw's like, no. I mean, and Shaw tried to lay down that. Shaw had no give at all, which was maybe a little bit of a downfall. But you had players that were on a losing team that were like, we're here in L.A. We want to go out tonight. We want to party. And that mentality is why you're not a winner anymore. It's why Ty Lawson doesn't play in the NBA anymore. It's why some of these guys that have a lot of talent don't go to the next level because they can't really put that stuff away. So that's where we are with John Morant, trying to figure out what he's going to do going forward as a man, as a professional, as a dad, all those things. So we'll see. 22 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. Our poll question of the day is up at thewholeshow.com. Does a loss like the Nuggets suffered to the Bulls concern you about Denver's final hopes? 62% of the hooligans saying no at this point, whereas 37% have a little panic there. So go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll see where you guys land at the end of the day. We'll be right back. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's a new Ed in town. Hear the blue and gold spring football game on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Thursdays at Cable's Pub and Grill mean Fiesta Thursdays. Smothered burritos for $10.99, house margaritas for just $4. Cable's does it all, man. I love that place. For me, it's a good meeting spot. I love to go there and meet up with folks. There's a lot of UNC supporters and things like that that call Cable's Pub and Grill home. But for me, sometimes what I like to do when it's been a long week and I just need to get out of the office or whatever and go work still, I like to go settle down during the cold days. They got the fireplace there. But even in the summertime, just sitting out the patio, relaxing, opening up my computer, perhaps getting a beverage, and just kind of relax out there. So whatever you want in a restaurant, Cable's Pub and Grill has. I mean, you want to meet with the fellas, you want to get ladies' night, you want a client meeting, or you just want to go unwind by yourself for a minute. That's Cable's Pub and Grill. Again, smothered burritos, $10.99. House margaritas for just $4. Happy hour Monday through Friday, 3 to 6. So enjoy. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Does a loss like the Nuggets suffer to the Bulls concern you about Denver's finals hopes? Go vote on that one at thewholeshow.com. And again, I'm not pressing the panic button. We're not slamming the panic button down. Gotta see a quick turnaround against the Spurs, though. I gotta see the Nuggets get back to Nuggets basketball, because I don't know what that was that I saw last night. You know, in the office, who's Michael's boss? Not Jan, but the one, David Wallace, right? For those of you that don't know, sorry. David Wallace was so well put together throughout the first few seasons. He's a good CEO. He handles business, da-da-da-da-da. Well, then when they let him go because, you know, the board, they're bought out or whatever, Michael goes to seek some advice from him, and he's, like, not doing anything. He's like, we'll go out in the hot tub and they have a beer. It's, like, 10 in the morning. And then as Michael's backing out, he's like, I don't know who that was, but that was not David Wallace. That is some kind of alien that has taken over his body. That's what I felt like the Nuggets were last night. I don't know who that was, but that was not the Denver Nuggets. So I got to be honest here. I can't always go the route of, it'll be fine. I'm mildly concerned at this point. Mildly. That concern washes away. When you have a mild concern... That could be washed away quickly by a quick get-right game against the Spurs. That's where I sit.
Yeah, I get the concern. The poll question asking about their finals, you know, does it affect their finals performance? I think it's hard to really gauge that because, one, they haven't been there with this
Does
unit.
It affect their finals hopes?
Again, I think it's tough because I think the playoffs are a completely different monster for the NBA. And I think these players approach it as this is something different. The playoffs, every game matters. You can't have a game like this. And maybe they went into this game thinking, oh, it's the Bulls. We can just do whatever and just take care of them. And hopefully they realize, okay, we can't do that. You know, it was one thing to get blown out by Memphis on their home court when they just weren't there. Last night there were points in this game where they could have made it closer. They were leading at half, weren't they?
I think they were leading at half. Or it was close. It was very close.
The game was there. They just fell apart in the third quarter, and that was we've seen that in the past with Nuggets team is that their third quarter usually hurts them. I think they can bounce back. I think this is a wake up call for them, a slap in the face maybe.
You hope so, yeah.
But the way this team talks about each other and the camaraderie and the relationships they've built in that locker room, this game is not going to derail them, I don't think.
Here's the thing. In the playoffs, you can't have a game like this because that's one loss, and now you're behind the eight ball here.
Right.
You know, again, if you have a game like that and you're up 3-0 and you have a game like that, okay, that happens.
I think it's harder to let a game like that get away from you in the playoffs. Because you know,
but you gotta
the stakes are higher.
But now you got to follow up, Angel. Now you have to follow up because you haven't earned anything yet. You haven't won anything yet, and you have the Spurs tomorrow night. That's a 6 o'clock game on the road. You got to bounce back, you know. And again, these aren't big tests coming up. This is about the Nuggets, not San Antonio tomorrow night. Because you know, again, we you and I looked at the schedule. And it's those last handful of games that are, I don't want to leave the last 6-7 games up to decide where the Nuggets finish in the standings. Now, will Malone finagle when we get 5 games left and mess around with who he thinks would be the best matchup? I don't know. Because if you're up 6 games by the time you have, you know, that handful of games, you're going to have to tank, essentially. I see Malone finagling with 1 or 2 games. I don't see him finagling with 7 games down the stretch.
I think it's tough because with as close as the Western Conference is with all these teams, the Grizzlies are going to drop. The Suns, who knows what's going to happen with the Suns at this point because Kevin Durant could be out for a while. The Warriors, they could be starting to climb back up. The Lakers, who knows what they're going to do. So there's so much going to be changing in those, you know, bottom 4 to 10 seeds that I think it's hard for you to say, oh, we cannot play this game or we can really have to win this game. I think it's hard to finagle your wins and losses when everything can change the very next day.
Well, you want Golden State to keep winning if you're going to keep winning because you want the Warriors to move up in the standings so you don't have to face them in the first or even the second round. It's already changed since we talked about it yesterday with the Clippers getting their win. Without the play-in aside, the Mavericks are sitting at number 8 right now. And so that yesterday it was the Clippers at number 8. And I'll take Nuggets Mavericks first round. But again, that doesn't mean we don't know what that means yet because Dallas would have to beat the Pelicans to get into that spot. Same with, you know, looking at Minnesota, they'd have to beat the Lakers to keep their spot. So we don't know what that's all going to look like. It is harder to finagle if you're a 1 or a 2 seed because you don't know who that's going to be when the play-in stuff starts. So that's a great point.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they get to a point, they're 11 wins away from locking up the 1 seed. I'll be interested to see what they do at that point once they know, okay, they're 1 win from getting a guaranteed playoff spot, whether that's play-in or whichever. They need 1 win. 11 wins gets you the number 1 seed. Home court throughout the Western Conference. At that point, if they lock that up, then what do they do?
Yeah, that...
Because then I could see them doing, okay, we're going to rest, maybe not everybody, but we're going to rest Gordon this night. We're going to rest KCP this night. We're going to make sure our starters are ready to go so we don't have slow starts that cost us games.
Yeah, that's where it will be. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I just want to get these games in the next 10 games or so for Denver. Get your work done now. I know you got a long road trip coming up starting next Tuesday, but get your work done early here. So then you have that freedom to decide what that's going to look like. Because if you can lock down, you know, we got San Antonio, Brooklyn, Toronto, Detroit, New York, Brooklyn, Washington. 6 games before you get into Milwaukee stretch, Philadelphia stretch, New Orleans stretch, Phoenix, Golden State. 6 games where I want to see 5 wins here. I would like to see, I mean, 6 would be amazing, but I want to see, they're capable of doing that, dude. I mean, they've lost, what, 4 or 5 games since late January.
They've only lost back-to-back games 3 times this season.
Yeah. So I'd like to see a bounce back in a very big way tomorrow night, specifically with the Joker. I want to see him. I'm not even talking about a triple-double. I just want to see him play the style of basketball that I've seen 99% of his career. That's what I want to see tomorrow night against San Antonio. And then the panic, the slight concern goes away for a moment. That's how this thing is, man. I mean, that's why the season is so long. It's what it is. We have storylines that go up and down. And are the, you know, Kisla's article in the Denver Post is, are they tough enough to win a championship? Are they tough enough to go all the way? And I'm not questioning the toughness. That didn't bug me last night. The shot selection has nothing to do with toughness. I didn't like the shot selection. I didn't like the makeup of the play design for this team.
I think this team is slowly, methodically figuring out what type of team they're going to be in the playoffs. And we talked about it in the All-Star break. The second half was going to be figuring that out. What was the bench going to look like? How does the bench solidifying itself impact the starters in terms of your rotation, in terms of them pressuring themselves, thinking we have to build a 15-point lead or our bench is going to screw it all up?
There is a lot of pressure there, and that's why they're staggering this Jamal Murray in the mix. I mean, is that, it seems fine on paper, but then you lose his minutes with the starters too. So what happens right now, you start the first quarter with your starters. Then as the first quarter progresses and almost ends, you remove your starters, but they're still keeping Jamal Murray in there. Then you start the second, and typically Jamal's starting with the second unit in the second period. And then with about 3 or 4 minutes later, you bring the starters back in, Jamal goes out for a rest. And then you get to another 3 minutes later, Jamal's back in. So you're not seeing, it's not like the Kentucky approach. It's the platoon. Here's 5. Go make your, go, 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 go. You guys all come out. Here comes the next 5. Will that work? And does it not give you that head start with Jamal to have him with the starters? When Joker's on the floor, Jamal should be on the floor. But that's not work. That's not what they're doing right now.
Well, Jamal was out first yesterday.
Yeah. That's how it's going. He's out for, he was out first and then they stagger him back in.
Yep.
So
they Malone will slowly pull them out. Like it will be Murray first and then KCP or Michael Porter Jr. And they'll try to leave Jokic in as long as possible. But when Jokic needs to take a break, all right, Thomas is in and most of the bench is there. Maybe Jamal Murray's in there, but you've also seen Reggie Jackson getting minutes with the starting unit.
Yeah, and Reggie's up and down right now for me.
He's settling.
Yeah, I hope he really settles.
Because he had a good game the other night.
Yeah, I just, the staggering thing on, you know, ideally it's a good idea, I guess, but I'm a little concerned with it because I do want to see the starting unit when they're together, they're packing a monster punch. They're rolling. And then maybe they've set themselves up so that the bench can come in and just hang on for 4 minutes. It's what you got to do. But the bench unit has struggled so much this year that Malone has been kind of forced to do this. Texter from the 405, 7-game lead, plenty of room to experiment, didn't work, maybe guys are just tired. And again, there could could be the case. I tweeted last night, I'm going to chalk it up before I go to bed as just one of those nights. At least that's what I'm choosing to tell myself. But I'm not going to sit here and BS you guys. I walked away from that game last night with an uneasy feeling. And so I'm not pressing the panic button, I still think the Nuggets can beat anybody in the West. But games like that give me pause. So that's why the San Antonio game, I think, is going to be big. 39 minutes after the hour on Gel. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast. And you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
All right, is that soccer game over or what? It's snowing there. Is that going to bleed into the CSU game? Coming up at 1 o'clock, Colorado State taking on San Diego State. Also, Colorado taking on UCLA. Back and forth we go. Now, it just kind of had me thinking here. I was listening to the guys on Good Morning NoCo talk to Matt Johnson. That guy's a good dude. I wish he could have had a better year for this team. You know, I wish the team could have had a better year for him. All those things going together. Now, I know we're going to be in March Madness, and then we jump into all things spring mode, talking about football. And I'm excited about football. There's a lot of reasons to be excited. Jay Norvell's second year. Clay Millen and Torrey Horton's second year with this team. Prime time, obviously. You got a new coach with UNC and Ed Lamb. There's a lot of reason to be optimistic, but Angel, we were here 4 years ago, and it turned out miserably. So hopefully football, different story.
Maybe us in this area, we can learn from last year and not to get too overly excited about football.
I'm at that point where I'm just intrigued. I'm
Let's
not
just
like
see what happens.
Yeah, like Jay Norvell last year, I was like, oh yeah,
10-0.
Let's go, Ed McCaffrey, bounce back. That did not happen. And the Carl Durrell, I didn't have huge expectations for. I did not think they were going to win one game and get blown out all the time. Didn't think that was going to happen. But, man, that was a weird year. I mean, Angel, that was before you were doing the show with me. 2020, I think, wasn't it? I think it was. Everybody was announced. You know, Steve Adazio, Ed McCaffrey, Carl Durrell. Same year. All had weird stuff happen, too. UNC, obviously, the Ed McCaffrey signing was weird just because it was weird. A two-year high school coach. Which, again, I still stand by the whole marketing aspect of it. I do. It was worth a shot. You were losing anyway. Why not get some marketing out of it? But that was strange. The Steve Adazio thing was strange at CSU because he was like their fourth or fifth option. You know, Joe Parker had come out and said, hey, we want to get a guy that's great character, high quality, and like the first three people on their list, quick Google search, and you found out most of these guys had stuff that you didn't want to bring in. So then they kind of went with their fourth option, maybe. Steve Adazio. That was weird. That got worse as things went along. And then Carl Durrell was a weird thing that happened because the Mel Tucker thing. Mel Tucker, I'm here, but I'm not, but I'm here. I want to be here. No, I don't. Oh, Michigan State's calling. And so then they got a late start and brought in Carl Durrell. Like, they wanted to invest. They wanted Mel Tucker to be the guy. That was the one they wanted to grow with. And he talked a big game about growing the Pac-12 and taking it from a tennis shoe league to a really good conference, a tough conference. So it was all a weird time. This time around, don't you feel like these have all been more calculated moves? Ed Lamb, Southern Utah guy, what he was assistant at BYU. That's a good pedigree. He's not the most popular guy in the world. State of Colorado knows Ed McCaffrey way more than they know of Ed Lamb, but it seemed like a football move. Jay Norvell, look what he did with Nevada. In your own conference, you find a guy that can win in your conference with the facilities that you have, maybe that works. Felt like a reasonable football move. Primetime, that's Ed McCaffrey on monster steroids. That's what that is. But it was also a football move because he did it. He did it. He coached college football. He won in college football. So where that move is different than Ed McCaffrey, you're not just bringing in a name. You're bringing in a name that has proven he can coach at this, you know, he can coach college football at least. McCaffrey didn't have any college football experience at all. No assistant coaching jobs, nothing like that. He was a 2-year head coach at Valor Christian. This time, even the primetime thing, I'll say, they all feel like better football moves. We'll see how that happens. But basketball-wise, big years coming up. You know, we've still got, obviously, in 10 minutes, we still get to see CSU and CU try to extend their seasons. But UNC's going to have some question marks. Obviously, Dalen's gone. Matt's gone. Who's coming back? Is Dalton Kinnett coming back? I was hearing Houston Reed on with Coach Speak with Bruce Dick earlier today saying, hey, you know, the transfer portal window opens up on the 13th. I think that's one of the windows. I don't know. I just heard him say, I can't keep track of it. So that will be something to pay attention to for UNC, for all of these teams in our area. They're already working. They're already trying to figure out guys that would make sense to their programs going forward.
Yeah, I just made some quick notes on UNC. They'll have three juniors, or they had three juniors this year. Dalton Kinnett, obviously, is a senior. He'll have a decision to make. And then you had the four freshmen, Caleb Shaw, Juju Ramirez, who didn't get a ton of playing time, Brock Wisney and Langston Reynolds, Connor Creech and Dawson Moore, redshirt freshmen, Zach Block was a sophomore, and Jalen Page, a redshirt sophomore. As of right now, they do have one transfer from a JUCO school, Cowley College. His name is Makai Cameron. This season, 18.3 points per game, four rebounds per game, three assists per game, 39% from three.
What position is he?
He is a guard.
Okay.
6'4".
Replace Matt Johnson?
Yeah, definitely. He has a lot of speed, a lot of athleticism. He reminds me of a good mix of Dalen and Matt.
It'll be interesting to see on that if they can get enough players to come in. And you knew this year was going to be weird, even though the picks, all of us picked them to finish pretty high. But maybe that was us getting a little too far ahead of ourselves because a lot of young guys. Well, now we get to see them grow another year. Hopefully all these guys come back. Okay, let me do this with you, Angel, quickly. I'm just going through some of these guys that played a lot. And you tell me where they're going. Gone, whatever. Even though I know the answer to some, but it's an exercise. Theo Hughes.
I think he'll stay.
Dalton Kinnett.
It's tough. I could see him trying to go pro. I could see him trying to transfer to a Power 5 school or a bigger Division 1 school. I could also see him staying. So it's kind of up in the air.
Take a shot.
I'm going to say he stays.
Matt Johnson.
He's obviously gone.
Connor Creech.
He's back.
Dalen Kuntz.
He's gone.
Brock Wisney.
He's back.
Jamel Melvin.
He'll be very interesting because he didn't get a ton of playing time this year. He was hurt for most of the season. But you did see him in the Big Sky tournament, and he actually had a pretty decent performance, especially in that first game. So I could see Melvin getting another shot at it.
Caleb Shaw.
Yes.
Is the other Shaw coming here too?
His brother, yes. Yeah. His younger brother.
So you've got the Shaws.
There you go. Shaw times two.
Shaw, Shank, no. Don't go there. Langston Reynolds. Yes. You're high on Langston Reynolds.
I am. He was like the Colorado Player of the Year.
We'll see.
I think he never got a chance this year to really figure out what role he was going to be, especially coming off the bench with Matt and Dalen. They're so different in how they lead and what their roles are on that team. I don't think Langston quite figured that out yet. I still think he needs to work on his shot a little bit.
Well, with UNC and then CSU has certainly some question marks. I mean, you got to be feeling pretty good if for some reason Isaiah and John Tanjay both decide to come back next season. For the Buffs, you know, who's coming back for them? Luke O'Brien, Julian Hammond, who had a good game yesterday. He's a sophomore. KJ Simpson's a sophomore. Who else? Tristan Da Silva's a junior. You got guys, the Lawson Loverling's a sophomore. Potentially, we'll see if Tad can re-recruit his own guys. 12:52 the time. 8 minutes until both of those teams get rolling. The Buffs and the Rams coming up here very soon. So we'll talk about that in our final hour of the program. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Okay, we have it on. CBS Sports Network is where you can find the CSU game. Although we still got soccer talk here, Angel. We're all panicking here. We're freaking out, but you're telling us to calm down. It's going to be okay.
Everybody just take a breath today. There's so much Angel, anxiety and concern and panic.
Everybody's going to be okay. UNC's losing their three players. They're going to be fine. The Nuggets got killed by this crappy Bulls. They're going to be fine. Dude, not everything's going to be fine all the
time. I didn't say that. I'm just saying don't overreact.
This is what we do here. We analyze. When crap happens, you don't just go, yeah, it'll be fine. You know, the Broncos were bad last year. They got Sean Payton. It's going to be fine.
If we're going to be making up narratives this week, there needs to be somebody that's the counterpoint to that.
But you are...
Have we learned nothing from our four-letter friends?
No, we haven't. They were wrong on everything. I'm just telling you, man, not everything is going to be fine. Some teams are going to lose. There's a chance the Nuggets don't win a championship. There's the chance the Avs don't. There's the chance the Bears suck next year. There's the chance the Rams suck next year. There's a very good chance of that. We got to talk about it.
You're putting all this negativity out in the world. You need to open the door to the studio for a bit.
I can't just pretend and cover my eyes and go, it's all going to be grand. Can't do it. Rams, San Diego State. We'll talk about that game coming up next.